But if you take the word of God with me and turn to Nehemiah chapter 2, but Nehemiah chapter 2, and I'd like to just read this passage to you here. We'll read the first six verses, of Nehemiah chapter 2. And it says this, "And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? And then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? And so I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant hath found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be? And when will thou return? And so it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time." Let's have a word of prayer this morning, and we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to thee humbly, but we come to thee boldly through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you that you have made a way that we can speak with thee. And Lord, I thank you for the salvation that you provided for us on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, we just thank you so much for allowing us to hear the gospel, sometimes many times. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray for those who are unreached people groups this morning and persecuted Christians around the world. We pray for them. But Lord, we pray for this message. I pray that, Lord, that you would be uplifted from it and glorified. Lord, may we get a greater vision of you from this passage of Scripture. And Lord, I pray that you would work in hearts as only you can. Lord, I can do nothing. I claim nothing of my own, Lord, but I know that I have the Word of God. I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for your perfect, powerful Word. And Lord, I thank you that it can pierce even to the heart. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless the reading of your Word, bless the message that's given now. And it's in Jesus Christ's name I do pray. Amen. As we look at this chapter in Nehemiah, Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. And he goes in to serve the king, and he's sad. Have anyone ever had a bad day? I have. There's been times when I go about my day, and I show how I'm feeling on my face. I don't really hide it very well. If I'm upset, usually you know it. I like to smile, so a lot of expressions on my face. Nehemiah was showing how he was feeling. He goes in to serve the king, and Artaxerxes, the king, says, "What's wrong? You're not sick. This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. And something was bothering you. Something's bothering you, Nehemiah. And what's wrong?" And he's asking him, he says unto the king, "Why should not my countenance be sad?" In verse 3, "When the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire." You know, see, Nehemiah, the first thing that we see here is that Nehemiah had a care. Nehemiah was burdened. Nehemiah was broken about something. He was broken about his city, the place of his father's sepulchres, back in his hometown of Judah. He was from Judah, and the walls and the gates were what was taking place back in Judah. Destruction had come to his city. The walls had been burned, and the gates had been burned, and the walls had been broken down. Destruction had come to Nehemiah's hometown. He's out serving the king. He's got probably a pretty plush job. If some would say working for a king would be pretty nice, I would say. He was the taste tester. That's even better if you're a Baptist. We all would love to be the taste testers. And he had a wonderful job, probably paid well if he's working for the richest, probably one of the richest men at that time. And who would want to leave that? And why? I'll tell you why. Nehemiah had a care. Nehemiah was burdened about something. He was burdened about the destruction that had come to his city, to the city of his father's sepulchers, to where he was from, where his family no doubt lived. He was burdened for them. Nehemiah had a care. You know, we need some Christians today that have a care, don't we? We live in a day and age where we need Christians who have a care about what's going on around us, who are burdened. Don't you think there's destruction that's swept across our land? I think so. And not just in America, but around the world. But you think about it when we're one of the leading nations for abortions. No doubt destruction has come to our land. And you know, just as the walls and the gates were being broken down, don't we have walls and gates being broken down today? We have millions of babies that are being killed, murdered. And we have, here in America, the cornerstone of what the Western civilization of a family is being ripped out. They're now saying it can be a man and a man, a woman and a woman. Can be, you can change your gender to whatever you want it to be. You don't have to be what God made you. There are being walls in the foundations of our very nation was founded on are being ripped out, aren't they? The destruction has come to our land. You know, we need to have a care. We need Christians and churches who have a care, who are a burden. What does it say Nehemiah did whenever he heard the news in chapter 1? It says, and it came to pass when I heard these words. Let's read in verse 3, I'm sorry. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. When Nehemiah heard what had happened, what did he do? He sat down and he wept and he mourned and he was broken over the state of the city where he was from in Judah, where the destruction had come. He was broken over that. We need Christians that are broken over the sin of our nation, that are broken over of what we see taking place all around us, the destruction that has come to our land. And Nehemiah, he had a care, but not only that, he was willing to get personally involved. And before we do that, though, before we read into that, I want to just share something with you. This was personal to Nehemiah. This was the city of his father's sepulchers. He was burdened for his own people, in a sense, wouldn't you say? Don't we all have people that are close to us that we should be burdened for? We have family members. Most of us probably, no doubt, have family members who are lost, who don't know the Lord as their Savior. And we need to be burdened for them, don't we? We need to have a care for our family members that don't know Jesus. I know that there's people I'm praying for in my family that would come to Christ. There's some that I've prayed for that have in recent days and in the past couple of years, and I'm very thankful for that. But just as these walls and gates were burned with fire, don't we have something to be burdened for? Don't we? Here, Nehemiah was burdened over the city's destruction, but don't we have people who are facing a coming destruction? People who are lost without Christ? People who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior? There's coming a destruction, a judgment that they will have to face. And if they face that without Christ, they will be in hell for eternity. And don't we have something to be burdened for? The lost that are around us. There's not just going to be the walls and gates burned and broken down. People are going to be thrown into eternal hell fires. And we have something to be burdened for. We need to have a care, don't we? Nehemiah gives us a wonderful example. Nehemiah had a care. The second thing I want you to see, that Nehemiah, not only did Nehemiah have a care, but he was willing to get personally involved. And if you look here in verse 5, it says, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant hath found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest, what did he say? Send me unto Judah. And I'd like to preach on that thought, send me. He said that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchers, that I may build it. What was his reaction to him having a burden? He didn't say, hey, would you send Susie Q? Would you send Joe Blow? He didn't say, hey, everything's going on. Would you send 100 of the best men that we have to Judah? What was his request to the king? He said, the king sees he's weeping. He's obviously sad. And he goes to the king and the king says, well, what do you have requests for? You can ask anything. You can ask for anything. And What did he ask? He asked, would you send me to the city of my father's sepulchers? He was willing to get personally involved. Send me to the city of my father's sepulchers that I may build it. Notice how personal that was to Nehemiah. This wasn't just something that he was burning for and he forgot about it in a couple of days. This was something that I dare say stuck with Nehemiah. And he was willing to get personally involved. You know, people will say, you know, don't tell me how much you care, show me. You ever heard that before? It's very easy to say something, isn't it? But usually the best way to tell if someone really means what they're saying is they do what? They back it up with action. You know how I know that Nehemiah truly cared? Is that he was willing to do something about it. You know, if a lot of Christians say, I think I care. I think I'm burdened for this world. I think I'm burdened for my community. Let me ask you this, a great litmus test to really test that care or how much you're burdened is how much are we doing? How much are we doing, or at least say we're doing for the care that we have? Are you burdened for your community? Then we'll be doing something about that to reach them, won't we? And that's how much you'll show that you care is how much you're willing to personally get involved. We need some Christians that'll get involved in the work of God. We need some Christians who get off the sidelines and they'll get in involved in the work of God and in the work of their local church. I'm sure your church is doing many things in the community and things that going out door knocking and soul winning and things like that. I know this year's been a bit different, but get involved with those things. Get involved in the work of God. We need Christians to step up to the plate and to do something. And Nehemiah, not only did he have a care, but he was willing to do something about it. I know that we hear, I don't know if you ever heard this mission statement, hear my Lord, send me. At a missions conference or something like that, you hear that phrase, send me. Isn't that interesting that that's the exact words that Nehemiah said? He said, send me. He didn't say, don't send anyone else but me, King. Would you please send me? Don't we need some Christians that'll say that today? Again, not just around the world, not just to England, like where I'm going. I'm not asking you to say that this morning. I'm just asking you to say, send me to those who are hurting in my community. Send me to those in my family that need the Lord. We need some Christians to have that. You know, that's a very selfless attitude, isn't it? Isn't that the same thing the Lord Jesus Christ said he was willing to be done for us? He was willing to be sent to the cross of Calvary for you and for me and for the world. And it's a very selfless request of Nehemiah was to say, send me. We need some folks who will say that once again. But look at the third thing with me. It says in verse 7 of our text, moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertained to the house and for the wall of the city and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. And then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. What do we see taking place here? Not only do we see that Nehemiah has a care and he's willing to get personally involved and he said, send me. But notice the third thing that we see in this passage of scripture. He had requests to the king for his mission. You know, that wasn't the only thing that he asked for. Send me, and that's it. That's not the only thing he asked. He said, send me, but then notice what we read here. He said, moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, and he starts asking these questions. He starts asking these questions. He said, could you give me a letter to the man that's at the river so he could convey me across the river? Sure, and the king writes him a letter, and he's able to get across the river safely with the correct transportation. But then he asks, if I'm going to rebuild a city, I'm going to need some timber, right? Can't rebuild. I've done lots of renovation on a cabin where we live, and you're going to need some wood to do some building back up of the city of Judah. And notice he asked, could you write me a letter to the keeper of the king's forest and so that I could have the timber necessary to rebuild the city and the walls? And sure, he writes him a letter to give to the keeper of the king's forest. You notice what's happening here? He had requests to the king for his mission. Don't you think we should have some things that we're praying for, have requests for to the King of Kings for our mission? Don't you think there should be some things that we're praying for, some things that we're asking God for in our mission to see it followed through? What is our mission? To see the gospel taken to our community, but to around the world. And we have a mission, don't we, as Christians? We have a purpose to live for, a purpose greater than ourselves, and it's something worth giving our lives to. But don't you think that we should be praying for some things in that mission that the Lord has given us, the great commission that he's given us to fulfill in all the world? There should be some things that we're praying for in this church. There should be some things that you're praying for to see happening amongst your community, amongst your families, asking the Lord to use your church for. We should have some requests to the King of Kings for our mission. Nehemiah, he had some requests to the king for his mission, not just to send me. That should be the first request. You know, I think the greatest request after salvation for a child of God, saying, Lord, would you save me? It's saying, Lord, here I am. Would you use me? We need some more young people and some more old people alike that are saying, Lord, here's my life. Would you use me for your service, for your glory? Thank you for salvation, and I'm thankful that we can ask for that. But we need to be asking the Lord to use us and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Send me. And Nehemiah, that was his request. But then he had other requests. But notice what the king gave him. He didn't just give him timber. Didn't just give him a letter so he could get transportation to go and clean up that city and fix the destructions. He also gave him some bodyguards. I really like that. I'm not a very big guy, you know, and I was never afraid to hit anybody in football, but a lot of the times, if we were with a bunch of buddies, I would never be afraid to throw the first punch or to jump on the biggest dude, but then I was out of there. I'd start the whole thing, and I was gone, okay? I'm never afraid to hit somebody, but I'm leaving, okay? We had a guy that lived in our house with us. He's not my brother. We treated him like a brother. He didn't have a dad. He left when he was a young boy. But he lived with us when we were in high school. He was about 6'5" and about 250 pounds. He was the center on our football team. And one day I just decided that he had made me mad. I was gonna deck him. And so I picked him up and slammed him down, and it kind of caught him off guard and caught me off guard. And then I started tearing out of there because I knew that he was coming after me. And he got a hold of me, and he threw me from one end of my parents' living room to the other and slammed me against the wall. And I was yelling for help. I was yelling, Derek, Grant, get in here. I need some help here. He's going to kill me. And it'd be nice to have some bodyguards sometimes, right? And I know that it would be nice to have a few from time to time. But, you know, I got to thinking as I was reading this passage, what a wonderful thing that God gave him above what he requested. He gave him more than what he was asking for. He said he gave him some captains of the army. That's really great. But can I tell you something? God's given us something more than just a few bodyguards. He's given us himself. God has given us himself. You know, whenever we go out throughout our days and our weeks, and whenever I'm going to England, I'm not going alone. Of course, I know I'm not. I'm going with two. I'm going with three girls, right? I'm outnumbered. I'm going with two little daughters and a wife. But I'm going with the Lord. The Lord's going with me. And we're not alone. I thought, man, how nice to have somebody, but how nice to have the Lord. The Lord is with us. And we can have boldness when we go about our days and talking with people. The Lord Jesus Christ is with us. If you know Jesus as your Savior, he knows you, and he abides in you. He abides in me. His Spirit's with us. And he is walking with us. And notice all the open doors that were given. You know, when you have something that you'll do for God, God will open the doors. He'll open the doors. Notice he gave him all the timber that he needed. He gave him the correct transportation. He gave him some captains of the army. He's opening every single door. Is there things you're praying for in the work of God? We're praying for churches in the United Kingdom to be planted. Can I tell you this? Almost every single church that's been planted, you want to know something? Somebody's been praying long before we ever started thinking, long before I was even born. a lot of those churches we'll go to, and there might be three people left or something, and they'll say, oh, we've been praying for 20 years that somebody would come and restart this church. And I think, wow, somebody was praying. When almost every single instance of the keys of those churches that have been given, prayer is a powerful work. You know, you say, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm very, I'm not very talented, or don't know if I can do some of those things in God's words. Can I say this? We all can pray. We all can pray. And we can get involved in God's work by having requests to the King of Kings for our mission. Nehemiah had some requests to the king for his mission. And by the way, he had a great king. He had a great king. Treated him very nice. He's not like our king. We have the greatest king in all the earth, King Jesus. Whenever I got, the night that I trusted Jesus as my Savior, I didn't want my prayer to be like the prayer that was being led at the front. You know how you pray after me and you wonder, okay, is this real? Things like that. And I wanted it to be personal to me. And I remember praying, Lord, I want you to be the king of my life. I claim you as my king. And aren't you thankful that we have a king who is greater than any earthly king? And if this king could answer some requests for Nehemiah, no doubt our king can answer the requests that we have to him. And the next thing I want you to notice very quickly, if you'd look in verse 11, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I rose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well into the dung port. And I viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. And then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. And then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. As we're looking here, what's the next thing that we see in this passage? Not only did he have a care, and we need Christians who have a care for those who are lost, what we see taking place in our world today, but we need Christians who will do something about that, have enough care to be willing to get personally involved in helping reach those people who are hurting and lost. But not only that, we should have requests to the king for our mission, but notice the fourth thing, if we truly cared, we would try to figure out the best way to go about restoring the desolations at hand. Notice what Nehemiah did. He went there. He's riding his horse. They called it a beast. I like that. I think it's his horse. He said it's the beast that was under me. And he's looking at all the things that have taken place in his home city. Could you imagine seeing that scene? He's going back to a place where his family's from. And it'd almost be like if I came back from England after being there for 5 years and all my family's houses that we live on this one farm. In West Virginia, in the hills of West Virginia, all 30 of us live out there. It'd be like if I went back and all the houses were burned with fire and the gates and everything was torn down on the driveways. Could you imagine coming back and seeing something like that? That's what Nehemiah did. No wonder he was weeping when he heard the news. No wonder he was burdened whenever he goes back and he's looking at it all and he's thinking, oh dear, I'm going to need timber to fix the dung port here. I'm going to need the gate of the fountain fixed here, and my horse can't even fit under this spot. We'll have to go this direction. You can see the desolations, can't you? The destruction that had taken place. And you know what Nehemiah was trying to do? What's the best way to go about fixing all this? What's the best way to go about, where do I start? Can you imagine? Where do I start cleaning this up? What's needed? I could see him just, right, I need beams here. This gate's broken, and the king's pool is a mess. And that's a bad day. The king's pool's a mess. But I don't think it was legitimately a pool. Maybe it was. But you see the destructions, don't you? He was trying to figure out what's the best way to go about fixing the destructions at hand. You know, we should be like that as believers. If we truly cared, we try to figure out the best way to go about reaching people with the gospel. What has gone wrong? And they're thinking, what's the best way to reach this person with the gospel? I'll give you an example. What's the best way to talk with someone who's had an abortion and they're mad at you? And what's the best way to talk to them? And just to, well, first off, it's to talk to them in love. They need love at that moment. But if they say, well, it's my body and I can do with it what I want to and all that, you know, you ever hear something like that? You can say, well, ma'am, the fact of the matter is that God made you. Your body belongs to God before it belonged to you. And we you know, there's a way to go about reaching people, isn't there, with the gospel? And a lot of cases are different. But the fact of the matter is we need to figure out the best way to go about restoring the debt. What's been broken down in their thinking? What's been broken? What are the walls that are being torn out in our nation to where people think differently? You know, the people are brainwashing our children. You know that, right? People are brainwashing our children on gaming systems. They now can detect on, I forget if it's YouTube or something, they can detect if it's a child looking at that screen. And they'll have ads come up about all sorts of immoral things to teach your children and my children that. And then if the same one will never come up whenever you're looking at it. Isn't that something? People, walls are being ripped out in our name. Their destruction has come, and they're trying to brainwash our children of what's right and what's wrong, and that anything goes. Can I tell you, God made man and he made woman. He made nothing else. And we need to make sure that our children know that. We need to make sure that our children know what the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to make sure we're keeping these foundations that have been built in our nation. And Nehemiah, he's trying to figure out what's the best way to go about fixing all of this. And may I say, if we truly cared, we try to figure out the best way to go about reaching people with the gospel. In my area of West Virginia, I'll tell you what I hear a lot. And maybe it's similar here. You talk to people as you're out witnessing. Well, I'm a pretty good person. I don't bother nobody. I live on my little couple acres here. I might kill a few extra deer every now and then out of season, but that's not too bad. You know, that's what we eat on for the year. And that's usually what I hear. Well, what is that person really saying? I'm good enough to get into heaven on my own. And I usually say to them, sir, I know that I have no doubt you're a good person. But the fact of the matter is that you still need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. No one's too good it's good enough to get to heaven on their own. What's the best way to go about reaching people with the gospel? Is that similar here? You hear that a lot around this area? I don't know. That's how my area is. A lot of good old boys in West Virginia who just think, well, I'm good enough. I don't bother anybody. I abide by the laws of the land. They're very moral, but they don't know Jesus as their Savior. We can tell where we can work with that person and others. And I'm thinking, how am I going to go about reaching atheists? You know, 90% of the, or not 90%, 8 out of 10 people that I met in England were atheists when I would talk with them. 8 out of 10. Every single week that I would go out soul winning, I would write down what the people that I talked to. I've got to figure out what's the best way to go about talking with people who don't even believe there's a God. You know, in America, I can just about get people to admit that there's a God, can't you? Oh, I believe there's a higher power. Yeah, I really do. Over there, they vehemently deny that there's even a God. And so I've got to figure out what's the best way to go about reaching those that don't believe there's a God. And very quickly, we'll come to a close here in just a moment. I've got just one or two more things I want to mention. And look in verse 17 of the same chapter with me. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. And what is Nehemiah doing here? He's thinking, hey, I'm going back, send me, I'm going back. I'm trying to figure out the best way to restore the desolations at hand. And you know what he's thinking? I can't do this alone. Nehemiah realized something, that if he was going to see a work of God done, he's going to see the city rebuilt, it was going to take more than just him. Can I say, if there's a work of God going to be done in this community, in this part of Ohio, it's going to take more than just your pastor, more than just the assistant pastor, more than just some solid ladies who take care of some things, more than just some solid men, some deacons, things like that. It's going to take everyone getting involved. You know, if a work of God is going to take place in this area, it's going to take and in this church, it's going to take every single person. It's going to take more than just a few people that are sold out. It's going to take everyone getting on board. And Nehemiah realized that it was going to take more than just him. So he's trying to go about, he's trying to get people to get on board with this. And then I said unto them, you see the distress that we are in. He's trying to, don't you see this, people? What's taking place? And he's trying to get them encouraged. He said, we are in, how in Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. He's kind of giving them a jab in the hind end, saying, come on, get up. People were sitting there amongst the destruction, hands in their head in their hands, and their city's been destroyed. They're down and out. And he tries to get it going and encourage them and say, get up. Let's get moving here. Let's do something about this. And I say the same thing. What we see taking place, don't get down and out about it and say, well, oh, woe is me. Oh, Trump's out of office now. And we're just going to have to hang on till Jesus comes, right? You ever hear that? If we can just batten the hatches and hang on here, just wait, it's right around the corner. He's coming back. Batten her down. No, I say we need to advance the kingdom of Jesus. We ought not to be people who are down and out and just thinking, whoa, we have enough of those type of Christians. You know, that we have enough of that in Christianity today. People care more about everything else but the word of God and the gospel. We need people who are excited and wanting to do something to rebuild the walls that are back at Jerusalem here. And he realized it's going to take more than just him. But then notice lastly, and then we'll be through. It says, and then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. And so they strengthened their hands for this good work. And notice what he tells them. What was the beginning of the chapter? What did it say? Nehemiah said in verse 5, send me to the city of my father's sepulchers that I may build it. And what does it say in verse 19? Or verse 18? Let us, and they said, let us rise up and build. It went from one person saying, send me that I may build it, to everyone rising up and saying, let us rise up and build. And they all said that. And they all got on board with it. And they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem in record time. I believe it was 42 or 52 days. Now that's pretty good for rebuilding an entire city. But you know what took place? Everyone got on board. And a great work of God was done. And the same thing can happen here and in anywhere in the world. If people are willing to do a great work for God. You know, it says in this chapter, they were building and battling for God. We need to be people who will build and battle for God. You say, Brother Dylan, why do you think you're getting buildings over there in England? It's because people have caught a vision and they want to see churches reopened. And British people now, not just American missionaries. We're training British people to start those churches. I truly believe that we'll see hundreds of churches planted. Maybe not in my lifetime, but I think that we'll see it because people have caught the vision. Hudson Taylor, I'll just share this story and we'll close. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China. Anyone ever heard of him? I know that there's probably some of us. He's my favorite missionary. I love Hudson Taylor. I love reading books about him. But whenever he did what I'm doing now, he went around, they didn't call it deputation then, but he went around trying to spread the word about China, about how he was going to China, and he went to Canada, and he went to some other places, and he would read this thing that he had published. And I forget the pamphlet that it was called now. I wish I could remember it. But he had this pamphlet he had written about China. And it's talked about how many people who were passing off into eternity every minute, every hour. Talked about how many millions of people who had never heard the gospel in China. And how he was so burdened for them. And gave all these statistics and things like that. And he would stand up when he would go to a church and he would read that pamphlet. And he would weep over it as he was reading the statistics about China. And he was so burdened for China. And he was from England. And he asked this question. He said, would you be willing to sell all that you have and come die with me in China? You think anybody, this guy's nuts. You know, nobody's going to do that. You say, nobody went to China, right? There was hundreds of missionaries that sold all that they had, hundreds of people that sold all that they had, and they went and died with Hudson Taylor in China. They saw over 500 churches planted in his lifetime, many more after his death. And I met a girl that went to the Bible college that I went to. She went up to a picture of Hudson Taylor and she said, "This man was one of the men who helped reach my family. And he's affected my line of all my generations down through." And she was saying that he had, and she touched his face. You think China had an impact? You think Hudson Taylor had an impact on this world? He did. You say, was it because he was such a great man? No. It wasn't because Hudson Taylor was saying, it's because Hudson Taylor had a vision, had a burden for the Lord, and he got other people in on it. And they caught a light. You know, you already speak English, so you can come with me to England to help plant churches. So you can't get out. I'm just kidding. I'm not trying to steal. But you know, we need people who are willing to not just go around the world with the gospel. We're willing to go right here. It can be done. And the Lord is still able to do a great work. Don't we have a great God this morning? And I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you just need to have a burden. You say, "Brother Dylan, I just don't think I really that burdened." And maybe you say, "Brother Dylan, I care. I need to get more personally involved." Maybe that's you. Maybe you'd say, "Brother Dylan, I need to find my place, do more at this church," or whatever it is. Maybe it's, "Brother," you'd say, "Brother Dylan, there's some things that I want to start praying for that God would do in my area, and or allow me to be a part of here at my church." Or maybe you say, "Brother Dylan, I just need to try to figure out the best way about reaching my family or my friends and my community." Or maybe you just say, "Brother Dylan, we just want to rise up and build." Whatever, wherever you're at this morning. Maybe you'd say, "Brother Dylan, I don't know Jesus as my Savior." If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, may I say that you can accept Jesus and he can save you from your sin and he can give you a home in heaven. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven this morning, get that settled. It's not about anything that you've done. It's about if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. And I don't know this morning where the message has spoke to you. I've given you what the Lord has wanted me to give. Missionaries are burdened about missions. You know, we're going to England, but we pray every night with our 2-year-old daughter. About, we have a map, we get out and we open it up and we pray for persecuted Christians and we pick a country. She can tell me where Morocco is. She can tell me where India is. And she's 2.5. I'm thinking, how do you know where Morocco is? But we're praying for around the world. And we need, you know, that's the wonderful thing about prayer. We might not ever be able to go somewhere. We can pray. You can pray for churches to be started in the United Kingdom with us. You know, may you rise up and build. May you rise up and build here. And may you rise up and build with us in England in prayer and in giving and maybe even in going. And we thank you for allowing us this time. Pastor, if you'd come along and just close out the service. I think I finished on time. But just let the Lord work in your heart. If the Lord has dealt with you in any way, please do business with God.